This is Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. This next piece is in collaboration with our friends at Oakland Voices, a project where East Oakland residents tell the stories of their own neighborhoods. Evergreen Cemetery has been in East Oakland's Elmhurst neighborhood for over a century, and that means it's experienced the changes in this city, from the neighborhood around it to the people buried and cremated there. There's enough history of Oakland in that place to write a book, make a movie, or teach a university class. To help uncover that storied past, we turn to Oakland Voices correspondent Damu Daly.
Some people have lived in Oakland for decades and don't even know Evergreen Cemetery exists. It has an unobstructed view in East Oakland where the hills start to climb above the flatlands of Foothill Boulevard, where the lights of the Coliseum can be seen flashing at the sky in bright, expansive rhythms. It's deep in the east near the prestigious grounds of Mills College. It's also remarkably near the notorious killing fields of Seminary Avenue. Why am I at the graveyard in East Oakland right now? I come here to wait when I arrive early for my appointments with my barber and friend, JB. He lives only a couple blocks from Evergreen.
I've been seeing a lot of people just even in the morning, just jogging around, just jogging at nighttime, jogging. I mean, if you know the history of this place, it's hard to get over what you know.
Yeah. As a teenager, I practiced a play on Evergreen's grounds. Ironically, it has always been one of the safest places to keep away from the violence of the East Oakland streets. A place where I can see all people coming from all sides for miles around. While at Evergreen, I begin to wonder, what is this cemetery's story? I really had no idea. Luckily, I got the chance to meet the owner, Buck Camphausen.
The world-famous undertaker.
No, really. That's actually what it says in cursive on the back of Buck's business card. Buck bought Evergreen Cemetery in 1973.
I think the A's were... The A's might have won a championship in 1970s.
Yes, that's one of the big advantages here. You know, we've sold property here because it overlooks the stadium. So we have ball players that have bought here.
Ball players aren't the only ones buried here for the view. Take jazz pianist Earl Father Hines, who died in 1983. He played with Louis Armstrong, Sarah Vaughan, Charlie Parker, Dizzy Gillespie, and even as part of the house band inside of Al Capone's Chicago Speakeasy.
Earl Father Himes is buried here. He's a jazz great, and he went around to all the cemeteries around this area, in the Bay Area. One, he liked the attitude of our people here, and two, he liked the view. So we have sold these cemetery, but you wouldn't think, but that's a lot of people look at that.
So when you say places, people about places, you mean like slots?
Yeah, grave, yeah.
Grave slots.
Yes,
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was thinking like real estate homes or something.
No. We don't sell that.
Walking around Evergreen, I see other notable people from entertainment and business buried here. Alan Clayton Hoskins, who played Buckwheat from the TV show The Little Rascals. C.L. Bess, who started the Global Caterpillar Tractor Company in nearby San Leandro. Then, there are the Hells Angels.
We've had many, many big funerals here.
But the
Hells Angels, there, we can take you over there and show you that. There's a whole line of them. They have about 10 other graves still available. But there's a grave over there, it's Magoo. And Magoo was one of the founders of the Hells Angels. Most of the graves over there are from the founders.
I'm meeting Buck with radio producer Jeremy Dalmas, and he's letting us in on some of the more astounding things that have happened at Evergreen. Like the time a local serial killer decided Evergreen's crematory would be the perfect place to dispose of victims' bodies.
He chewed them on the street. There were actually murders committed here.
The killer realized it would be even less trouble to shoot them dead right there on Evergreen's site.
No. Let me tell you what's unique.
He shot someone at the crematory.
Yes.
And then
he told our employee that, I know where your family lives. If you say anything, I'll kill you.
I don't believe Buck knew he would have stories such as these to tell when he purchased Evergreen Cemetery. And from the looks of the original announcement of Evergreen's opening, neither did the founders. Here's the rather peaceful story in the Oakland Tribune on February 18, 1903.
Work on the Evergreen Cemetery, the new burial grounds that are located between Elmhurst and Seminary Avenue, is progressing rapidly. The grounds have been surveyed and preparations are now being made to put in the driveways, walks, and flower beds. Trees will also be planted shortly. The location of the new cemetery is one of the best that could be secured for that purpose. It is situated on a rise of land at the base of the foothills and commands a view of the valley and the bay for miles around.
A wonderful place to rest in peace is what anyone might think. But what the Tribune did not mention that day was the long list of people that would be denied a plot upon request. Even though Evergreen opened almost 40 years after the Civil War ended, it was still segregated, a strong selling point for potential customers at the time.
This cemetery, when it was first founded, had the exclusionary clauses that a lot of cemeteries in those days had. They didn't allow Jewish people buried here. They didn't allow people of color buried here, nor Asian people here.
By the 1970s, when Buck bought Evergreen, selling spaces to an underserved community was the best idea. The cemetery could no longer function as a segregated place, especially since the neighborhood was now primarily full of people of color. Buck was the right owner to change with the times.
I was young, enthusiastic, and energetic. And I saw an opportunity here. I had to borrow $10,000 for a down payment. We came out here and promoted it within the black community. Mm-hmm. They responded, and we were doing approximately 600 burials a year, which was a major change for this cemetery.
600 burials comes to nearly two people per day, every day, for a year. If death is like a toll bridge we all must cross one day, East Oakland has many more people in the line than others. But in many ways, Buck reminds me of Evergreen's neighbor, my barber, JB. They're both just honest, straightforward, front porch type people, country smart. They are the type to own simple businesses and provide services that real people in the neighborhood actually need to live, a toll booth business. JB would be smart and shrewd enough to cut Donald Trump's hair if he could, just like Buck has the down-home laugh and wit of your favorite barber. I once even asked JB if he would cut Trump's hair just to see what he would say. And just in case you were wondering, JB said he would cut Trump's hair better than he's getting cut right now.
Would you change it up or would you?
No, I couldn't change it up because he has a comb over on top. So you got to be real gentle with that and it has to match the top. So.
Oh, okay.
Couldn't do too much with it. I may be a little bit tighter around the back area right around here, but that's about it.
But to own a cemetery in the black community during the crack epidemic, which began in the 80s, in the middle of a drug turf war, and the war on drugs by the government, this was the closest thing to striking oil for a businessman. Black gold in the ground for miles around. This reality was unforeseeable to Buck, who purchased a bankrupting cemetery in 1973. Oakland had become a war zone to me and my friends in the 80s and 90s. But to the older generation, passing on during this time of chaos and uncertainty in the black community, Evergreen gave them one long final view to go lay in beauty forever. Some wearied after a life of exhaustively dancing within the electroshock color lines of America. Can I ask you about the Huey situation?
Huey Newton?
Yeah.
Of course, the Black Panthers were in this neighborhood. And we got to know the Black Panthers very well. They came around with food. They did a lot of cooking in churches and so forth. Mm-hmm. But they fed a lot of people. I think you've probably, all the good things they did.
You're talking about the schools in the neighborhood?
Yes, yes. And so they come in here because burials were being made here within the community. And we bought food from them. We were one of their main stops, you know. So they would come in here at noon, and they did wonderful cooking. Mm-hmm. So you had the people in here. So we had a unique relationship with them that way.
A man whose name became synonymous with black militancy in the 1960s was shot to death early this morning in Oakland, California. Huey Newton, a co-founder of the Black Panther Party, had been shot several times. He was 47.
Huey P. Newton was cremated at Evergreen Cemetery. For an Oakland native like myself, holding Huey Percy Newton's death certificate is like holding a piece of American history.
You getting hot?
Yeah, you getting thirsty?
Yeah, this is a job for Kool-Aid.
Oh, yeah!
Have you heard of the phrase, don't drink the Kool-Aid? Well, this comes from the Jim Jones massacre that happened in Guyana in 1978.
Good evening. The news from Guyana is even worse than we thought yesterday. All of the bodies that have been sighted have now been airlifted out, but in still another almost unbelievable turn of events, another 135 bodies were found today, and authorities now believe the final death count will be about 910 people.
More than 900 people died in mass murders and forced suicides from fruit punch mixed with poison. Nearly half are buried here at Evergreen, most of them children. Studying the Jonestown's victims' pictures inside the memory book at Evergreen make it real to me. The book has far more kids in it than adults. The ratio looks like the same amount of teachers and kids in an actual middle school yearbook. They remind me of my 6th and 7th grade classmates in North Oakland. Some look like me. I feel bad for never understanding how bad it really was. But now, I also understand why hundreds of multicolored bodies were denied entry by several cemeteries before Buck said yes. It made sense now, like 1903. They were probably told they had no more room, but good people of the world will always need someone like Buck to step in and do what's right when no one else will.
They were afraid to come. And then all of a sudden they came here, and the emotional breakdown was unbelievable.
We say goodbye to Buck, and he hands us over to Giovanni Morga, the head of cremations at Evergreen Cemetery.
I was a manager for Macy's for 10 years. I was a visual manager. You know what that is? It's a glorified name for a managing dummies. So I came to this world. I like it. It's kind of cool. It's cool because it's a lot of responsibility.
As Giovanni gives us a tour behind the scenes, he's extremely proud of the new human cremation equipment that warms up in the background. These modern machines are high tech and very green, he says. But not everyone is built for the type of work a cremator does.
It's something that's part of the world, part of life. There are people who do not want to deal with, or the people that are intrigued over it. I had an operator going through training. He must have been the strongest guy I've ever seen. Tall gentleman. But when he walked in the cooler and saw an infant baby, he couldn't take it anymore. So that's why I said, it's your aesthetics. It's your what you're made out of. Could you handle it or not?
Driving away from Evergreen, my mind wanders over the stories Buck told us. In particular, I'm thinking about the local serial killer, the one who took over the crematory by holding employees hostage and killing victims he brought up there alive. The killer was eventually buried at Evergreen.
Ironically, that guy was killed, the killer was killed, and he's buried up behind the mausoleum where the crematory smokestack on a certain time, that smokestack comes right across his grave. Isn't that, it's kind of an ironic situation.
The Oakland police like to humble brag about the murder rate in Oakland. They say it's lower than it has been in years. But it's still high enough for me to be extra vigilant and cautious on casual trips to visit my barber while in the neighborhood. Maybe it has changed like they all say, and I only hide out at the cemetery because of muscle memory. But I wouldn't bet my life on it, just yet. Nonetheless, I do see high-tech classes moving in and beautiful diversity moving out. No matter how much things around here change for better or worse, Evergreen will always be here to stay. At least it will live forever as it was, with people underground and beneath the hills. To me, this is at the core of Oakland spirit, something that no t-shirt or cute phrase has ever captured. Now, Evergreen's grounds are full, and there are no more burial plots available. But Buck continues to provide cremation services for all who ask, and without prejudice. In Oakland, I'm Damu Daly for Cross Currents.